You know, I have to explain to you, I mean, if you ever wondered how my development got where it is, there is quite a few contributing factors. Of course, one is probably the environment, two is the neighborhood, but really, probably one of the most predominant people in my life was my mother, okay? And my mom had certain things that she liked that I think she tried to always impose on me. I don't know that your mothers ever did that, but mine did. And my mother loved musicals. And to this day, I don't like musicals. But I mean, I was raised where you listen to musicals. I mean, let's put it, you know, on the line here. You know, I mean, I had to learn all the songs from South Pacific. You know, you're gonna wash that man right out of your head. You're gonna wash that man. You know, I mean, they call you. I mean, bring it to you. Maybe the sun gave me the power that I could swim Loch Lomond and be home in half an hour. I mean, all those dang musicals. I mean, finally one day, I'll never forget, she came in. I can't remember the name of the musical. Said, watch this. And it was Clint Eastwood. I said, finally. Clint Eastwood. And in the middle of the thing, he starts singing, I was born under a wandering star. I mean, you know, what's that, developing his lavender side? I don't know. So I'm not a real big fan of musicals. But I have to tell you, last week, I saw Hamilton. And I like Hamilton. There was something about it that really got into me, that moved me, that inspired me. You know? I mean, I love the way it was put together. There's a song that he sings called My Shot. Trust me, I'm not going to have it played for you, and I'm not going to sing it to you, because it's 5 minutes long. But I want to read to you just a little bit of the context of the part that really hit me. He says, I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? In my sleep, 7 feet ahead of me? If I see it coming, do I run or do I let it be? Is it like a beat without a melody? See, I never thought I'd live past 20. Where I come from, some get half as many. Ask anybody why we're living fast and we laugh. Reach for a flask. We have to make this moment last. That's plenty. Scratch that. This is not a moment. It's a movement. The gospel we have today is the story of the Transfiguration. Okay? You get this every year at this Sunday. The last Sunday of Epiphany. It changes from gospel to gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the story of the Transfiguration. And the last Sunday of Epiphany, right before you go into Ash Wednesday, every year, you get the same story, but from a different gospel. And that story, you all know. But let me try and unpack it for you today, keeping in mind, this is not a moment, it's a movement. So keep that in the forefront of your mind as you hear the story. The story goes very clearly. We have the shortest one. It's in the Gospel of Mark. And it's a story where the inner circle, which is Peter, James, and John, the sons of, you know, Zebedee, basically, go up onto a mountain with Jesus. When they get up there, Jesus stands alone. And it says that he's transfigured. In other words, everything becomes white. And he's there talking to Elijah and Moses. Some would say the law and the prophets. And he's talking to them. It's not in Mark, but it says very clearly in the other gospel, in Luke, that he's talking about what's going to go on in Jerusalem, about how he's going to go through everything that he goes through. It says, while he's talking to Moses and Elijah, Peter, who I love because he always puts his foot in his mouth, and I can relate to that, he jumps right in and he says, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three dwellings. Another one says, let's build three tabernacles. Let's build something to, in the words of Kodak, capture the moment. Capture the moment. Let's build three dwellings. Let's remember this moment. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. While he's speaking, a cloud comes and enshrouds them all, the whole top of the mountain. Don't forget, God always speaks through the cloud. In the desert, when they were out there for 40 years, the nation of Israel, they were led by, you know, fire by night, cloud by day. And from the cloud, a voice comes, interrupting Peter in his thought about building dwellings. He said, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." At that point, the cloud goes away. The disciples, who are still terrified, sort of come out of it. Jesus is standing alone, and Jesus says, "Going down the mountain, don't tell anybody about this till the Son of Man rises from the dead." What was going on there? I think what was going on personally is that Peter thought they wanted to capture that moment. He lived in a moment. He wanted that time with God, that time with Jesus, that time with Moses and Elijah, that time that's bigger than himself. And he wanted to hold on to that. But what does God say? "This is my beloved son," basically. Listen to him. He didn't want the moment captured. He wanted that moment to be a movement. I wonder how many of us would prefer moments with God than the movement of God. I mean, most of us want moments with God, don't we? We want to feel that sense of being lifted up, that sense of connection, that whole nine, which is all good. But those are moments. The movement of God isn't necessarily always one where it's really comfortable. It's one where God, using peace within you, moves you to the place that you're called to be. To be transformed, not transfigured, but transformed more and more into the likeness of the very person that was transfigured, Jesus. You know, a lot of my life I spent looking for moments in God. I mean, think about them. You know, how many of you went off to camp as a kid and had the mountaintop experience and you committed your life to Jesus? And I'm not saying that wasn't real. I had one of those. But you know what? You don't stay on the top of the mountain in that moment. You got to come down off the mountain and go into regular life where the movement really takes over and starts working you through. How many of us think, "I have my moment with God," which is a good thing. I read my scripture. Well, if you just read scripture and not live scripture, then you just read a book. After all, what's that old saying go? You may be the only Bible somebody else gets to read, so it better reflect in your everyday life. If you say words to God, that's wonderful. But unless you pray and listen to God, you're missing the whole point. You see, moments with God sometimes are this thought of ourselves that somehow we can come together and bring it in and get control over things. That somehow, yes, we are in touch with God, which you are. God has always been with you. Since before you were born, God has been with you. Don't mistake that. He wasn't with you just in the good times. He actually is more present in the difficult times. The problem is, in the difficult times, you got too concerned about the wind and the waves. You got too concerned about the storms around. You were too concerned about the fears that you felt that you couldn't look for him. You just looked at, "How am I going to get out of this?" And yet it's that very place in life where the movement of God does move you through that place. You know, the story of the fiery furnace is so clear. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they won't worship the God of Babylon. They won't worship Nebuchadnezzar. And what's he saying? I'm going to get you if you don't worship Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to get thrown into the fire first. They throw him into the fiery furnace. And then all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar goes down and looks into the furnace to find to see and look for the charred remains of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what does he see, though, when he goes in there? He doesn't see three charred remains. He sees four men walking around in the midst of the flames. An old black minister once said to me, he said, that's truly the story of the gospel. God doesn't save you from the flames. He saves you in the flames. It's the movement of God. And that movement is in you. That movement is there. But unless you come into the rhythm of Him, unless you go into the beat of Him, you miss it all. You know, I wonder how many of us have missed God because we're so preoccupied with trying to get that moment with God. And you might even say, oh, I felt that moment with God. And it might have been real. But unless you come off of that mountaintop experience and take that moment with you and turn it into a movement, you're missing all of God. Because the God that you have is a God that walks with you in life. He's the God that gives you the very breath that you have. The ancients intuitively knew that. You know, in the Old Testament, there's three names for God. There's Elohim, which is a plural. That's why we have the Trinity. That's why we believe. Elohim, which means God, but it's where in Elohim created the heavens and the earth, okay? Then there's Adonai, which means basically Lord, which is another reference to God. It's the Lord, it's sort of more the second person, which is Jesus of the Trinity. And then there's the name of God, which is Jehovah or Yahweh in the Hebrew. You know, it's funny because the people in ancient Israel, you know, decided that the name of God, Yahweh, was so holy that you could neither say it nor write it. And then they figured out how would anybody else know about it if you couldn't say it or write it. So what they decided was that you could write it, not say it, but you could write it, but you couldn't put in the vowels. So basically to write it in the Hebrew text, it would be YWH. You know, most modern scholars now realize that when you do that, YWH, and you say that, Yahweh, you say it with an open mouth. It's all the breath. And the ancient Hebrews knew very clearly that God came in every breath. Now, you want to talk about movement within you? Every breath you take is God coming into you. But do you pay attention to it? Do I pay attention to it? You know, you can blame the people around you or the situation in life that you're in for moving you away to a dark place or away from spirituality. But really, the only person you really can blame is yourself. Because we all stand in our own way of coming into that deep relationship with God. Doesn't matter what your DNA is. Doesn't matter about what your parents did or didn't do. It doesn't matter if your mother made you sing musicals. Because the truth of the matter is, access to God is free through grace to each and every one of us. And it comes in every breath. But God can't move in us if we only look for moments with Him instead of the movement of Him. And the movement of Him works through us in so many mysterious ways, through our own life, through our own life situations, through other people, yes, but through the power of the Spirit in the way that we look at everything else around us. And when we look at everything else around us, whether it be the outside circumstances, the inside things of people that we're close to that we trust that don't always live up to that expectation, no matter what it is, if we look at through the lens of Yahweh, that somehow God in us lets us see His hand at work in our life about us. And the movement of God becomes more and more satisfying. We call everything we do here in this Holy Eucharist, in this worship story, a liturgy. And a liturgy is basically nothing more than setting a beat for how we live. You learn the rhythm here so you can take the rhythm out there. But the rhythm that God has given to you is the movement of God made up of many moments of God. Don't settle for the moment. Move into the movement. And in that process, you'll be changed. You'll be transformed. Not transfigured, but transformed from a little bit less of what you are right now and turn into a little bit more of what you ought to be. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.